I was grateful for the opportunity to spend time with you this morning, and Brad asked me if I would speak a little about the role of the Holy Spirit and what it is that he wants to do in our lives, and particularly because we're in the theme of family, what it is that the Holy Spirit wants to do with regard to family. So being a good, obedient preacher that I am, I'm doing what I was asked, which is kind of fun. One of my favourite things to talk about, my favourite people to talk about, the Holy Spirit. I grew up in a church setting, but the church setting that I grew up in, I could hardly recall at all of the Holy Spirit being mentioned, let alone being invited to come with his presence and fill us or anything scary like that. So that was my introduction to Jesus, but he was Jesus without really much exposure to the presence or the work of Holy Spirit. As a young person, I was then exposed to some teaching around the Holy Spirit, whereby that if you didn't speak in tongues, you didn't have the Holy Spirit and you weren't a Christian. And so all of those things became quite confusing and quite fearful. But I don't think confusion and fear is where God is aiming for us to land. So I did go to the Word. And when I go to the Word, I find that I read about Jesus, and I find that Holy Spirit is not an optional extra for the Christian life. He is the Christian life. Jesus baptized, one of John's descriptor of Jesus was that he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. When Jesus comes to his disciples after the resurrection, he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. He tells them to wait in Jerusalem, not to leave on the mission that he sent them on until they have received power from on high through the Holy Spirit. Yeah, he tells them to wait. The whole of Acts is the explanation of the supernatural things that the Holy Spirit does in the lives of ordinary people when they allow him to lead them. And Paul goes on in Ephesians and tells people to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm just so absolutely convinced that apart from the Holy Spirit, there is no Christian life. He's not the optional extra. And today I felt led to read to us from a very familiar passage, which is Romans 8, perhaps not the passage about being filled with the Spirit that you might have expected, and besides which I did have a really nice message that I'd preached at another church about being filled with the Holy Spirit from Ephesians 5. But something about being led by the Spirit is that you have to obey when he tells you to preach from Romans 8. So it's Romans 8 today. And he is wanting to speak to our spirit. I believe there's a reason that he's got us in Romans 8. He believes he wants us. He wants to connect with our spirit to spirit. So if that's something that you would like to do, I would like to pray for us, because, there's so many things in our heads. There's so many things in our physical bodies, maybe pain or weariness. But spirit to spirit, the Spirit of God wants to connect to our spirit. So I'm going to pray for anyone who's up for that. So Holy Spirit, we invite you now to bring our spirits to the fore. We invite you, spirit to spirit, to connect to the deep places of our heart and to take us on a journey to fulfill the purpose that you have for us today. In Jesus' name. All right, well, when it comes to Romans, it's like trying to drink from a fire hydrant. It's so densely packed with brilliant, amazing, true, life-changing, wonderful things. We are only just going to scratch the surface and take a few little snapshots, but they're the snapshots that I feel like the Holy Spirit's highlighted for us today. All right, so we're going to start from the beginning of chapter 8. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. This is the most astonishing thing. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who don't live in according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Imagine that. We get to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. Man, that's amazing. Anyway, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Take a deep breath. Life and peace when we're governed by the Spirit. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law, nor can it do so, but those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Right, for those of you who like to know where we're going in the message, I know there's some of you who like to know. This is where we're going. It's a two-point sermon, but it's, 2 points, two L's. We're no longer slaves because the Holy Spirit liberates us. And we're no longer orphans because the Holy Spirit leads us into a place of family. Now, it's a little bit cheaty because I do have only two points, but the second point's a bit long, So, no longer slaves because one of the Holy Spirit's job is to liberate us from slavery. Okay, we'll go into the two sorts of slavery. There are two sorts of slavery that Romans 8 mentions. One is slavery to the law, and the other is slavery to the flesh. Or the self, our selfish appetites. And to slavery to the law. I'm not talking about the law of the land, and Paul is not talking about the law of the land here when he's talking in Romans 8. He's talking to Jewish people about their slavery to trying to get God to accept them based on their ability to fulfill the law. That is an exercise in exhaustion, in frustration, and in failure. Because Scripture says, by obedience to the law, no one will be made righteous. In other words, forget it. If you could have been made righteous by the law, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. But because we are so proud, we just think that somehow if we can do more, try harder, somehow we will be able to make ourselves acceptable to God. And that ends up as slavery. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does is he liberates us from that because he gets to the point where we finally realize we cannot make ourselves acceptable to God by the things we do. That's good news, except it's bad news first before it's good news. The second thing that we are slaves to, and we see this, I just see this in so many people's lives, is we're slaves to our appetites. We're slaves to our desires. We're slaves to, you know, it ends up in a place of addiction, or it might end up in a place of just rebellion. I'll do whatever I want to. You know, nobody should tell me what to do. I'll just go after the things that make me happy. I'll live my life. I'll probably try and be quite a good person, but I just will do my own thing. And I will do the things that make me happy. I'll spend my money on whatever I want to do. I will just go after the stuff that I desire. And you know, we can live, and we have a world full of people doing this, that live quite independently of God. They don't need God. They don't, you know, he's a bit irrelevant to them until sometime when something goes wrong. And they realize that all of the striving after our own stuff is actually not enough. And even whatever appetites we've decided that we want to fill, it's not enough. You can have more, you just need more and more and more, and it's still not satisfying. It just reminds me, there's a beautiful song. I'm a bit of a fan of musicals. There it is, straight out of The Greatest Showman. All the shine of 1,000 spotlights, all the stars we steal from the night sky will never be enough, never be enough. Towers of gold are still too little. These hands could hold the world, but it will never be enough. Whatever appetite, whatever thing of self we're going after, whatever thing it is, you know, whatever new shiny toy we think will be the fulfillment of our dreams, whatever handsome man will come along. Never enough. It's true. If you are going after a relationship, it's not going to be enough. You know, the toy that we bought and spent money on 3 years ago is the thing that we put out on the council, you know, pick up a few years later. Because it's never enough. And all of the things that relate to me satisfying myself are never enough. And somewhere there, God, in his extreme kindness, brings us to the end of ourselves. And he brings us to the end of striving to be good enough, and he brings us to the end of just getting our needs and our desires met. Because those two things are both forms of slavery. And he invites us to a different form of slavery. I feel like that in-between stage is very, very scary, because that moment when we realize that we're not enough and that we can't do it, it's both incredibly liberating and incredibly scary. I can't do this. I cannot. I can't. I am not enough. And my moment with God was just so broken. But then it's like he says, oh, good, you finally realized you can't do it. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit comes and he invites us into a different form of slavery, an obedience of love to the one who wants to come and live in us and empower us from the inside out, a different master. You know, there's an old hymn that says, make me a captive Lord and then I will be free. You know, we surrender, we give up our right to run our own lives. We give up our right to be free and do our own thing. And somehow there, God gives us back our freedom and our liberty in the most powerful and beautiful way by coming and living his life in us. And that's exactly what Paul goes on to describe, Jesus living in us. That is our hope and our liberty. I just love that that's the work of the Holy Spirit, is to set us free from slavery and into the freedom that we have in Christ. Yeah, there he is. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you're in the realm of the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. The Spirit who lives in you. By the Spirit you put to death the means of it, you will live. The work of the Holy Spirit. We all serve something. We all serve something. And so we're invited to invite the Holy Spirit to be the one that we serve. You know, if we had authority to set ourselves free, we would do it, wouldn't we? If we could break our addictions, if we could break our appetites that are unhealthy and unhelpful, we would do that. But we can't and we don't. We actually need another master. We need a higher authority at work in our lives. Sometimes, some of you know, I'm working down at the Christian school here, and it might surprise you to know that as a casual teacher, sometimes that I'll come across a student who doesn't want to do what I say. A Christian school, yes, like that. Now, I could jump up and down, rant and rave, try and exercise my own authority. But you know what? It's much, much easier to just say to this lovely student, think carefully about the choices you're making at the moment, because there will be some consequences. I give them the opportunity to think about that. And then if they still choose not to obey me, I don't go head to head with them. I go to a higher authority. They will have a conversation with my boss. You see, when you're under authority, you can call on a higher authority. And when we're under authority of King Jesus, because we've invited him into our lives, he has far more authority to deal with the things in our lives that hold us captive than we do. That's why I love deliverance ministry, because you get to see Jesus go to work on the stuff that has bound up. The enemy has no right to keep you and I captive. If you are held captive by anything, that is illegal if you are under the authority of Jesus. And he has the authority to get rid of anything that's robbing you of freedom. And you need to hear that today. And Jesus wants to set some people free today. So the Holy Spirit liberates us. That's our L. And the second L is the Holy Spirit leads us. He leads us into adoption as sonship, adoption as part of the family. He leads us out of orphanhood. So here we go. We can see it straight from Scripture. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received doesn't make you slaves so that you live in fear again. The Spirit you received brought you about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share his sufferings in order that we may also share his glory. And in the same way, the Spirit helps our weakness. We don't know how what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now that's freedom. That he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. There we all are. There's family. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. So the Holy Spirit leads us. He not only liberates us from slavery, but he leads us out of orphanhood and into God's family. We've been adopted by the Father. And the first good news of that is that we are known, we are accepted, and we are secure. Man, when you're part of a genuine family, you belong. You go to the fridge, you help yourself. You don't have to knock at the door and say, can I come in? You belong. You are, you even misbehave and you're still part of the family. For good or for... no, sorry. This is the incredibly great news of the kingdom, of the work of the Spirit. He brings us into a beautiful connection with our Heavenly Father. And that word about being adopted, that is the word that is used for a son who's been adopted and has received the full rights of sonship in a Roman family. We're no longer alone. We're no longer striving to get God to like us. He already likes us because we're his kids. We get to call him Abba, Daddy, that intimate, deeply known word. We get to be in deep connection, you know, to know his heart and for him to know our heart. We get to tell him, God, this is what's going on in my life. That's such good news. We get to be real with him. We get to be honest without being afraid. You know, no fear. We cry knowing that we're secure. That is really good work. As I was preparing this, I was praying for, just for anything God wanted to say to me. I am a striver by nature. I'm a performer by nature. I just felt like God said to me, I'm not watching your performance. I'm enjoying your heart. Like, relax. It's okay. When we're part of a family, we get free from that striving. We get to live in life and peace. No wonder that's the way that the things that the Spirit deposits in us. Okay, so that's the first one. The second thing is that we have an inheritance. Orphans don't have an inheritance. They're just on their own. They've got to make their own way in the world. Nobody does anything for them. But sons, we get an inheritance. Sons and daughters, we get an inheritance. And, you know, in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul talks about that we've received every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Man, that is some inheritance. We have an incredible inheritance of blessing. We get to inherit everything that Jesus has. We also have as his brothers and sisters, because we're the firstborn. He's the firstborn among us as his brothers and sisters. We get to partner in the family business. We get to share in the mission of spreading the good news of the kingdom of God everywhere we go, of carrying that beautiful peace that Michelle was leading us in. We get to enjoy the family challenges, but we get to experience the gifts, the power, the supernatural opportunities, the walking alongside the Spirit that comes from having an inheritance in Christ. Man, we get every resource that we need to do what God has asked us, to do the good works that He's prepared in advance for us to do. So, orphans they're not known, they're not secure, they're fending for themselves. We are known, accepted, and secure, and we also get to have an inheritance of every spiritual blessing in Christ. There's two more good things about not being orphans. This is what Paul goes on to write. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God's for us, who can be against us? He who didn't spare his own son but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God's chosen? It's God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. So even if in the worst possible circumstances, there is something that's happened now that they know who they are as God's children. No, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Woohoo! That's good news. We have help for our weakness, another great thing about being adopted by the Father and being led into that revelation is that we actually have help for our weaknesses. We're told that the Spirit helps our weakness. He intercedes for us and he knows the mind of God. Now, one of the highest things on God's agenda is that we love each other. So I reckon getting help for our weakness in loving the people around you is very high on God's priority. You know, any of us can love the people we agree with. How do we go about loving the people we disagree with? The people who we're disappointed with. The people who we're hurt by. The people that we don't understand. Why would they do that? The people who let us down. The Spirit helps our weakness. That's really good news. Because God's agenda is that the love of this body and of his body is so spectacular that the world knows that Jesus is real. That this is a place where love triumphs over whether we're rich or poor, whether we're male or female, whether we're left or right, that this becomes the showpiece because of the Spirit of God binding us together as brothers and sisters. This becomes the showpiece that says to the world, you don't have to live in conflict just because somebody disagrees with you. You don't have to fill your X account with words of judgment or words of condemnation. You don't have to be right and sacrifice your relationships. We get the Holy Spirit helping our weakness to actually love well. And the last thing that happens, well, it's not the last thing, the last thing I felt to just mention is that we have the Holy Spirit as part of the family who have supernatural ability to overcome hardship, struggle, persecution, suffering, and to hold on to love and to not abandon our faith. We've had many testimonies, and many of you have really powerful testimonies of how God has taken you through really hard times. You're still here. You're still believing. You're still trusting God. Why? Because this work of the Spirit in us actually enables us to hold on and to do what we can't do. Whether that's pain, whether it's suffering, whether it's disappointment, whether it's all our friends have abandoned Jesus and we choose to go on. Whatever it is, there is a grace that causes those hardships to become places of victory. They become the places of testimony in our lives. They become the places that say, this was not me, this was God. And those testimonies are the things that give hope to other people, because they need to hear good news that Jesus is able to bring us into victory. You know, when bad things happen to us, it's so, so easy to do the victim thing. Oh, yeah, this again. Oh, this always happens to me. Oh, yeah. But victimhood is what orphans do. Sons do it differently. Sons and daughters do it differently. We cry out to our Father and we say, this hurts. This is horrible. Help me, Father. But we don't let go. By the Holy Spirit, we hold on. And we say, well, actually, we let God hold on to us, even when we feel like we can't hold on to him. And the victim becomes the victor. And we then have a testimony that God doesn't solve all our problems or take away all our suffering, but he walks through us with it, with us through those things. And his presence in us is enough to bring victory and to bring glory out of suffering. And that's exactly what God is doing as we allow him to work his supernatural ability in us to overcome hardship and suffering. So I felt to just leave us with that little summary, because I really feel like I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to invite our beautiful worship team to come and minister just in the area of Holy Spirit, because I just feel like there's something that God wants to do for every spirit that's open to him today. It might be that he wants to bring some freedom in a place in your life where you have not been free. Maybe not been free from worry or anxiety, not being free from something that was holding you captive, not being free from trying to get God to like you through doing stuff. Whatever freedom you need today, I feel like the Holy Spirit is inviting. He's here to bring the authority of Jesus to bear on whatever's been holding you captive. As you invite the presence of Jesus into your life to be your master, then that authority comes to bear on the illegal stuff that's holding you captive. And for some of us, it will be that the work of the Holy Spirit just is to remind us that we belong, that we are accepted in the Beloved, we're accepted in Christ. Or to remind us of everything, every empowering, every gift, every grace that we need is rightly our inheritance through Christ. Because kids get to inherit. It might be that the Holy Spirit is wanting to bring us to a place of repentance about an attitude that we've had to a family member, and to shift something in our hearts where we have needed his strength to overcome our weakness. We've needed his strength to be able to love supernaturally. And where we've perhaps facing hardship or trial, and we don't want to let go of trusting God in the middle of it. So, Father, we are so grateful for the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Paid the penalty for our sin and And Holy Spirit, we so need you to apply that finished work to set us free in every area of our lives. And we choose to put ourselves under your authority, Jesus, and invite you afresh to fill our lives, to live your life through us. And Holy Spirit, we also are so grateful that you lead us to get the aha moments, to realize we're just loved, we're just loved, we're just loved. To stop the striving, to stop the endless going after stuff that never satisfies. And to actually just receive the love of our Father, our Abba Father, that fills the deepest parts of our hearts. And that brings us into everything that you've won. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We say yes to you, and where we've been afraid, where we've judged other people in case they were doing something weird or that we didn't understand, any blockages, any hindrances, any fears, any need to be in control, we just surrender those now and say, we want to be filled with your Spirit. We want to keep on being filled with you, Holy Spirit. We say yes to you. I'm just going to make space for the Holy Spirit to do anything he's doing in our hearts. And our worship team's going to lead us. Thanks, Michelle.